Today's episode of Market Talk is brought to you by Growmark FS. And a good afternoon live from the Big Iron Farm Show in Fargo, North Dakota. It is time for Market Talk here on this Tuesday. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Find us online, markettalkag.com. That's our home on the web, markettalkag.com. You can find all of our streaming sources there, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. All of our social media and more, it's all online, markettalkag.com. And a fairly decent day in the market trade here on this Tuesday. Wheat futures higher, corn futures higher, beans were a little more mixed, but we had some good positive news to talk about today. Let's bring in Jim McCormick with AgMarket.net, our guest today, joining us from his studio in Illinois. Jim, good afternoon. And overall, pretty solid day in this market trade. I was a little disappointed in the close in beans, but overall, not too bad of a day. What are your initial thoughts?
I think you nailed it. It was a positive day. Corn market trading higher, wheat market opposite higher. Bean market's struggling a little bit at this point in time today with the overall action, but you know, it's pretty much an inside day. So in general, I think you got to be pleased. It's the time of year that normally, you know, Jesse, it feels like, you know, as you go into harvest, if you don't get any news, the market goes down. So to see that market move higher today, definitely a positive sign.
Well, we did get a little news on the wheat markets. I know we got some pretty bullish Stats Canada numbers in here today. What was it? Down 38.3% from last year on total wheat production, 21.175 million metric tons. I know canola was lower as well. And that seemed to be the shot in the arm this morning to that wheat market, really moved us higher.
No doubt about it. And the fact of the matter is, some of our contacts, Jesse, say this crop's going to get smaller yet. They're almost a little bit surprised it came in at that number. They think that number could end up being below 20 when it's all said and done here, when they finally, you know, figure out, get all everything put away for the year. So I think that number is getting smaller. And the fact of the matter is, the government made some adjustments to these wheat numbers on Friday, but they kind of just more shuffled the chairs around the, you know, around the Titanic. The reality is, these wheat stocks are the second tightest in 15 years around the world. And the wheat market's goal right now, our belief is to make sure it's high enough price that it doesn't move into the feed rations and it stays out of the feed rations, not just in the United States, but around the world.
Yeah, that's something we're going to be watching, I think, very closely, is that tightening side of the picture for wheat moving forward. And I know also some dry weather concerns in the southern plains with that winter wheat crop. That's something else that we got to keep an eye on here moving forward as well, Jim.
No doubt about it. The drought is still raging across the Midwest right now, the Southern Plains. And then just, you know, our group was talking to Drew Lerner just yesterday. And the reality is, I mean, we're just the Midwest as a whole. We need to get some good critical winter or fall rains, because the snowpack probably is not going to solve this drought problem in the western part of the United States, the Southern Plains. So the market's on edge. Like I said, the world stocks are projected at this point to be the tightest, second tightest in 15 years. So there really is no room for error, not just in the United States, but around the rest of the world at this point in time.
Let's talk corn, Jim, and a good day there, as you alluded to, and it seemed like the wheat market kind of pulled corn with it, but maybe some other fundamentals to watch. You know, this is, we're getting into some early harvest. Obviously, we're going to be kind of consolidating here, it feels like, and waiting on some of these harvest numbers and some solid yields from the fields, but corn, a solid day there today. Was it more wheat pulling it higher, or do you see some other things in that corn market right now?
I think it's a couple things. The wheat market going out, no doubt about it, definitely helped it a little bit. But I think fundamentally, you had a bearish report on Friday. The carryout grew, the acres grew, the yield grew. And the fact of the matter was, the market could not go down. So you kind of got to the point where maybe we priced in enough of this bearish news. And I think lastly, I think the market is starting to really get concerned about what the yield's actually going to be. Our group is hearing and talking to a lot of people. This black tar spot here that's affecting parts of grain in Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan is becoming a really, really serious problem for some producers. There's a lot of talk of an agronomist that's saying, you know, at the end of August, this crop looked good. And now here we are 10, 15 days later, and the crop looks like it's October 31st. The crop did not dry down. It died down, plain and simple. And it is going to cause a lot of yield drag, we believe. And then the question is, you know, the crop as a whole, Jesse, we're looking at the Eastern Corn Belt was going to offset some of the problems in the Western Corn Belt. If the Eastern Corn Belt stumbles, we're really going to be surprised on the Western Corn Belt yields to achieve. And a lot of people point out the crop rings that came out last night, where you look at it, they're close to where they were a year ago at this time. A year ago, we ended up with a 172 yield, which then makes you start to wonder, can we really have a 176 plus crop, but the yields are with what the you know crop ratings are suggesting and this tar spot problem. So I think you're seeing a little bit of weather premium or risk premium coming back into the market. Maybe the bears who were trying to press the market when they weren't able to press it down after the report are booking their money, you know, taking the money off the table, plain and simple.
You know, you mentioned some of that premium coming back into the market, Jim. Do you feel like we're just going to probably consolidate here for a little while without some major black swan type of news coming into the market until we get to the end of the month? I know we have some more reports at the end of the month. And then obviously by the end of September, we're going to start to have some yield estimates start to feed their way into the market psychology. So do you feel like at least with corn, we're just going to continue to kind of consolidate here for a little while?
I think we could consolidate, probably maybe firm up a little bit more. I don't think we're going to consolidate these prices. I think we could work our way higher. But the fact is, I think toward the end of the month, that's going to be a very exciting number potentially. The quarterly grain stock is the number we're talking about, folks. The last three quarterly grain stock reports, I think there were limit up moves in the corn market. And when you look at how tight this cash market was the last week, 10 days, it wasn't just in the Midwest. I mean, you had customers in Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Iowa talking $70, $80, $1.50 premiums for corn to try to encourage producers to move corn to the market. We have elevators that normally have corn available, essentially out of corn. So our belief means that this would suggest, Jesse, that this quarterly grain stock is going to show a tighter ending stock number than what the government reported here last week, which could be potentially very bullish.
On the soybean side, we were higher in beans early on through Tuesday session and just kind of slowly faded in that soybean market here today. What are your thoughts there? What happened with the bean market on Tuesday?
Well, I think what happened today was a technical failure. The market surged, tried to take out the Monday, Friday highs right near 13 when they could not take out that high. I think you just saw a little bit of risk off coming out of the marketplace. You got the NOPA crush coming out as well. And I think, you know, that's probably going to be down this month because the fact is there just wasn't a lot of beans available to crush. So that could be a little bit negative. So I think that's more of a technical failure than anything else. And kind of like corn, Jesse, we're probably more in a consolidation mode. We did get a bearish report on Friday. The bean market wasn't able to break on that news. So we're waiting for that next, you know, news event. Now, interesting enough, a lot of producers in the central U.S., central Indiana, Illinois are telling us, you know, they're 10, 15 days away and they'll be going at beans hard. So we'll start getting a little bit more bean yields probably in really quick. And, you know, depending on how that yield moves the market, a bushel yield change with these acres is a difference of, you know, carry out being closer to 200 or 100 million. So yields are still very critical. What's actually out there?
Very, very critical. And, you know, the other thing, too, is that we're going to start to watch the demand side of the picture. China, you know, there's not a lot of boats on the water from Brazil right now. We're going to be, you know, looking at some soybean strength here from China, more ramping up, we presume, anyway, as we get into the fall harvest and towards January, February. And then obviously that brings into question the issues with the ports in the Gulf and everything there. But, you know, we're going to be watching demand. That's going to be a real big thing that's going to start to play back into this market, I feel like, here as we move forward. What do you think?
Is 100% demand. I mean, the demand in China, demand is the key. We are hearing reports that China did buy a couple boatloads, maybe up to 7-8 boatloads of beans out of Brazil yesterday, a couple loads out of P&W. The Chinese are definitely concerned, folks, a little bit about how quick we're going to get these ports up and running down in the Gulf of down near Louisiana. We are hearing more and more coming online each day. Electricity, one of the cargo plants I was reading was getting electricity today. So each day we get a little bit closer to getting stuff online. I'm very optimistic that we will hit our export target. The reality is we're only 2 weeks into the marketing year, so it's going to take time. But the money's going to make it work. They're going to figure out how to get it, if not out of the Gulf, out of the PNW. So if anything, that might give the producers there in the northern branch, kind of where you're at in the North Dakota region, maybe a little bit better basis than they normally would expect as they feed that Chinese market out of the PNW.
A lot of things to consider. We'll be watching very closely in the weeks ahead on the grain side for sure. Well, Jim McCormick is our guest today here on Market Talk. Coming up, we'll talk livestock market. Cattle had a really strong day today. That JBS fire in Grand Island, Nebraska, was it an overreaction to that? Is that why we saw the market move higher? We'll talk about that. We'll take a look at hogs and get final thoughts. That's coming up next as you're listening to Market Talk. Back after this. Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least. But there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic, grain, and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up to date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.
As harvest begins, the American Seed Trade Association reminds farmers to be diligent in taking the proper precautions to ensure treated seed does not enter the domestic or export grain supply. When properly handled, seed treatments are an effective agronomic tool that provides seeds the necessary protection for a strong, healthy start. Completely remove all treated seed left in containers and equipment used to handle harvested grain and dispose of it properly. Always be careful to follow state and federal guidelines for proper handling, storage, and disposal of treated seed. For more information, visit seed-treatment-guide.com or contact your seed dealer.
Trains are everywhere. You should always expect one, even on private property. Only cross tracks at designated crossings that fit your equipment. If you don't fit, don't commit. Whatever you're operating, secure your load, raise your equipment, and avoid getting stuck or causing damage. Minimize distractions. Remember, noisy equipment drowns out the sound of a train. Unless you're crossing, always keep a safe distance from train tracks. Look, listen, live. For more info, go to oli.org.
And we're back here on Market Talk. Jim McCormick with AgMarket.net, our guest today here on the show. Jim, let's talk. Let's go over to livestock cattle today. Big day there. You know, we came in Monday, the JBS fire in Grand Island. Everybody's thinking, oh no, is this going to be a repeat of what we saw in Kansas a couple years ago with Tyson? And it seems like it was kind of overdone. JBS got the plant back up and running for the most part today, and cattle shot higher. Talk about your thoughts in this cattle market. And was that correction pretty much based off that JBS fire and that being a little overdone today?
I think the fundamental side definitely was bullish. I mean, the reality is that they were pricing a lot of what ifs. But to face it, Jesse, this market had been kind of just puking on itself for the last week, you know, last 10, 15 days of trade. Technically, we were massively oversold on both the cattle and feeder cattle. If you look at the chart, they went down to the 200-day moving average. They held it. So I think you kind of had a combination today. You had a little bit of fundamental positive, hey, this plant's not going to be down more than that, you know, a couple shifts. And then on technically, the market being oversold, not taping out the 200-day moving average, I think that tripped some technical buying as well. So some technical buy, fundamental buying, you got a nice move today.
Well, and, you know, you talk about the market being oversold in cattle. And, you know, obviously we got a nice move today, but the way this market has been trending, do you feel like we still have some room to go to the downside here in cattle? I mean, let's talk about that a second. Do you think that there is that potential with just the tone of the market, the way it's been at least before today's little bit of a rally here?
Right now, I like to think we put the bottom in, but the reality is we haven't even taken out the 10 and 100-day moving average, which is a little bit above today's market. I think, folks, you've got to see a close over that. You see a close over that, I think you feel a little bit more optimistic that this just isn't a dead cat bounce in an overall bear market. So I think those are that's the first signal I'm looking for. Until we get a close over that, I'm a little bit cautious. On the fundamental side, I am a little bit more optimistic. I was seeing some stats over the weekend. COVID infections are now we're down 10% off the high scored a few days ago. So the infection is, you know, around the country is slowing down. Hopefully that's a good sign. That'll encourage more people to go out to eat and kind of see that demand there. You are seeing full stadiums at the football games, so hopefully that's a good sign. But like I said, the technical picture, it's a little bit more positive today than what it was, but we haven't got that overall technical signal. The bottom is in just yet.
Am I hedging cattle at this point? Am I looking at some puts? What are some strategies I need to think about if I'm a cattle producer looking at the prices where they're at right now and wondering if we have another downside move in front of us?
Well, I think you got to look at your break evens right now and realize where you're at. I guess I would look at it right now. If I was going to encourage guys to, they want to get some risk on, I would go with more of the put option strategy because we have broke so much. This market could be trying to put at least a temporary bottom in and see a little bit of a rally. So I wouldn't commit yourself with the futures, but buying a put, if you just say, look, I want to put a floor in and everything. I'm a believer, folks, plain and simple. If you can lock in profits or minimize risk, it's the smart thing to do. The reality is in the world we're in right now, you can be profitable today and losing, hemorrhaging cash tomorrow. So don't be afraid to take advantage of profits, to lock them in when you can.
On the hog side here, real briefly today as well, we were higher in sympathy with cattle, it seemed, and then we just kind of lost our momentum in the hog market. What are your thoughts after Tuesday's trade when the hogs?
They're frustrating right now, Jesse. They're like the cattle market. Unlike the cattle, been able to get a dead cat bounce. They continue to struggle at this point in time. I feel like there could be a little more downward pressure until we see a little bit more demand. The reality is we need to see some demand in this market. We've got a little bit of oversupply hitting the market at this point in time. So, you know, the key is China. Let's be honest. China's the one that's going to drag this hog market around. If the Chinese would come in and buy and start to, you know, that would kind of be the good sign. But right now, we're going to continue to struggle near term, I fear.
China was the number one buyer in weekly exports last week. We'll see if that comes back around again here this week and beyond. Jim, any other final thoughts you have for us? Anything outside market-wise or anything you want to reiterate here on the show for this Tuesday?
Well, I think right now, keep an eye on the dollar, folks. I think in the overall picture, we're going to see where this dollar is going to trending. I think, you know, you could be looking at the formation. Maybe you're trying to put in a head and shoulder top. The CPI index, CPI number came in a little bit, not as bad as people are fearing today. So maybe inflation's kind of cooling down a little bit. We'll see where that market goes in the big picture. Our group right now is saying, hey, look, you know, when we look at where we're at, I think my belief is the crop's probably going to get a little bit smaller. I'm not afraid to take profits on, you know, locking cash grain prices, but we would encourage producers out there to, you know, come up with a game plan, maybe to keep some ownership into the game. Weather is going to play the key this fall. It's going to play the key into the Brazilian crop and then a key into next year. So I don't think the volatility we've seen in 2021 is going to die in 2022. 2022 could even be more volatile. So you want to keep your options open, plain and simple.
Well, Jim, I know if producers need some help with keeping those options open, they could do that by finding you guys online. I know you have your app, and, of course, a good old-fashioned phone call works, too. You guys have a lot of ways that producers can connect with you for some advice, can't they?
No doubt about it. I think the easiest way to do it is go to agmarket.net, sign up for our research, look our videos. We put out some videos out in the cattle market. We've got, you know, any questions, just give us a call.
Agmarket.net. That's where you can find him. Jim McCormick, appreciate the time on this Tuesday. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you for having me on.
And again, that's Jim McCormick with Agmarket.net, our guest today here on Market Talk, as we are live at the Big Iron Farm Show in Fargo, North Dakota, here for the next couple of days, getting to enjoy everything going on here at the Red River Valley Fairgrounds in West Fargo, and getting to catch up with different folks in the ag industry across the Northern Plains, and producers, farmers, and ranchers here throughout the region as well. So definitely a busy 3 days, but a fun 3 days here on tap at the Big Iron Farm Show. I'm going to recap the final market numbers here real quick before we run out of time. December corn was up 7 today, 520 and a quarter. March corn up 6 and a quarter, 528 and a quarter. November beans 2 and a quarter lower, 1282 and a half. January beans down 1 and 3 quarters at 1290, 1 and 3 quarters. October bean meal down 350 a ton at 338. October bean oil up 94 points at 5674. December Chicago wheat 13 and 3 quarters higher today, 7 and 3 quarters. December Kansas City winter wheat, that was also higher today, up 15 and a half at 701 and three quarters. Again, those Stats Canada numbers, very bullish. Also got some of those weather concerns in the Southern Plains. Winter wheat, going to be worried about that here moving forward with how dry it is. On the spring wheat side, December Minneapolis wheat up 11 and a quarter, 887 and a quarter today. March up 9 and three quarters at 876 and a quarter. Now over on the livestock side, again, a strong day there in cattle. That JBS fire. The sentiments there maybe a little overdone on the market trade. October live cattle up 185, 124.12. December up 250, 129.65. February up 282, 133.25. September feeder cattle up 307 at 155.27. October up 270 at 158.15. Hogs were lower. They faded through the day. October hogs down 40, 80, 37. December down 120 at 72.17. And February hogs down a dollar at 75.75. Overall, not a bad day in the market trade, though. Just a few of those down numbers seen in hogs and soybeans. Otherwise, a pretty solid day throughout the trade. That's going to do it for today's edition of Market Talk. Thanks for Jim McCormick joining us here today on the show. And again, we'll be back tomorrow live from the Big Iron Farm Show in Fargo, North Dakota. I'm Jesse Allen wishing you a great afternoon.